Life for us this morning to read these verses in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And then I want to read it in the Amplified Version just very quickly, and then John chapter 6 and verse 42. I know we've done a lot of standing this morning, but would you stand one more time this morning in honor of reading God's Word together today? Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is typically a passage we might read around Christmas time, but there is another aspect for us to read here today. Let me get to the right page. In Matthew chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this manner. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, or Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now listen to the Amplified. Follow on the screen if you want to. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place under these circumstances. When his mother Mary had been promised in marriage to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And her promised husband Joseph, being a just and upright man, and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame and to disgrace her, decided to repudiate and dismiss, that is, divorce her quietly and secretly. But as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of, or from, or out of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. "For he will save his people from their sins," that is, prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. Verse 22, "And all this took place that it might be fulfilled which the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which when translated means God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took her to his side as his wife, but he had no union with her as her husband until she had borne her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now over in John chapter 6 and verse 42, and this is during the ministry of Jesus and his life, and the people who were challenging Jesus and challenging his teaching, it was the Jews. And so it says there in verse 42, John chapter 6, "And they said," trying to dismiss who Jesus said who he really was. "And they said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we are knowing? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven?" Let's bow for prayer as we come this morning in this place. And Father, as we come and look into your word, we just desire to gain wisdom and spiritual understanding about the things of life. And Father, we know that everything you've done all throughout all of created time and history, you set out, Father, to reveal your nature, to reveal who you are, to reveal your purpose for us, to reveal your will for our lives. Now this morning we ask as we've opened your word, as we've read these words, Lord, that you will speak to us and that you'll reveal to our hearts and our minds the truths which truly glorify you and exalt your Son, Jesus Christ. And we just pray now that you'll bless this time in your word this morning, and we do ask it in that name above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. So as we come to look at this, I think became a very interesting study for me, that we come to learn something about Joseph, who was the father of Jesus. So very, very little was ever spoken about him or given, very little information given about him. Yet there are some significant things that we can know. There are four truths, four things that we can recognize about his life, and there's five lessons that we can gather from this and learn from this. The first thing, one of the commentators that I was looking at and was reading about this said that Joseph was an example of quiet leadership. One asked this question: what sort of man was Joseph? How can we characterize the man whom God chose to parent his own son, that is Jesus? First, he was spiritually sensitive in his response to Mary's pregnancy. His rejection of apparent sin combined with compassion for her illustrates Joseph's godly character. Then a man, D.A. Carson, a theologian of days gone by, said this about Joseph. He said, "Because he was a righteous man, Joseph therefore could not in conscience marry Mary, who was now thought to be unfaithful because of her condition. And because such a marriage would have been a very explicit admission of his own guilt to be the father, and also because he was unwilling to expose her to the disgrace of a public divorce, Joseph therefore chose a quieter way. Permitted by the law, it would leave both his righteousness and his conforming following the law about him, but also and his compassion for Mary, leave it all there intact." And so that was kind of the beginning of looking at this that really spoke to my heart and to my life about Joseph and what it meant for him. So he was a spiritually sensitive man. Fathers need to be spiritually sensitive to the things of God. And Joseph was such a man. In verses 18 and 19, go back and look with me if you will. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was based on these circumstances. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child with the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example because he had a compassion for her, he had love for her, and he even respected her, but he was minded to put her away secretly." So Joseph was, first of all, a man who was spiritually sensitive to the things of God. That's one of the things that really needs to come to fruit in the home and the marriages of God's people in America, around the world, but especially here in America. So Joseph was one who would respond to Mary's pregnancy rather than to react. We see a little bit kind of forming of a reaction there, but he wanted to do it in a way that he would respond to her situation because he loved her and they had been betrothed. And you know the custom of that day, they would be engaged in an official ceremony for at least a year, and then the actual marriage part would take place, and then they would begin to live together and that type of thing. But Joseph responded to her pregnancy, and he rejected the apparent sin because it just looked like she was guilty. What would you think? What do we think today? Well, because there's not another son of God going to be born, we know what happened. We know what took place. Well, the people back in that day and time in Joseph's life and the people there around them thought the same thing because it had never happened before. We know it will never happen again, but at this time it had never happened before. So it looked like that Mary had been unfaithful, and the question was it Joseph or was it some other man? And that was what was going around. So Joseph wanted to deal with with this in a manner, in a way, because if he had just married her, then that would be an admission that he was the real father of the child. And so that stigma would have stayed with them in all of their married lives. But God had another plan. And so he had that plan through this man, Joseph, there. And so he had compassion for Mary there that leads us to believe and to know that he was a spiritually sensitive man. Also, he heard and obeyed revelation from the angel. The angel spoke to him in a dream at night, and it was sure, and it was real, and it was genuine. And Joseph took to heart what was given to him in this dream. He knew that it was from God, and he had to be a spiritually sensitive man to come to that conclusion and to realize that. And so he heard the angel, he heard the message, and he obeyed it immediately and went on to do that. And then the fourth thing there about being spiritual sensitive is that he observed the law concerning the birth of a male child. If you would, look with me in your Bibles, turn with me there, or look up on the screen at Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. Verse 21, Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 21, we know that Joseph was a spiritually sensitive man because he was going to observe everything in the law. Verse 21 says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Then verse 22, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." In verse 23, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And then finally, verse 24, "And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And so we know from this that Joseph was a man who observed all that God had established for the men and the people of Israel to observe in their day and in their time. And so then look at Luke chapter 2. Verse 39, it says the same thing, and said a similar thing. "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city there in Nazareth." Also, we see in another scripture, we won't turn there to it, but that he went to Jerusalem every year to the time of the Passover, and they took Jesus there. And we see that, remember, that's when Jesus was 12 years old, and he was there away as they left him there for several days on their journey back to the house, back to their home. So that was the first thing. He was a spiritually sensitive man. And well, in today's world, today's life, we need people to be spiritually sensitive to God, and especially fathers need to be spiritually sensitive. Then the second thing is, out of the four, is that he was an unselfish man. He assumed the full role of a father toward a child that was not his own. We have a lot of circumstances like that in this world, in this life, where fathers, real fathers, have passed away, or they're out of the home, and there comes a stepfather into the situation, and some have been very good experiences and others were not so good. But in this situation, Joseph was a man who was unselfish because he took, because of the way God guided him, he took this responsibility and assumed the full role of a stepfather, a father, for a child that was not even his own. And he did that by protecting him. He protected him when he took him down into Egypt, and then when he brought him back up out of Egypt again. And so from infancy to childhood, Joseph protected Jesus as his own son. And then he trained him in the carpenter trade. Every son was required of every father to train every son in some kind of a trade so that they would have an honest living, and they would make an honest living and live hopefully a peaceful life. And then he imparted spiritual direction to Jesus in his life, as we saw there we could see there over there in where he went to the temple there, and Jesus was there, found among the teachers on that one day in time. Then the third thing that we can gather from this is that he was capable of handling adversity. Joseph was a man who could deal with problems in life and deal with them in a spiritual sense, in a spiritual way, according to truth, according to biblical principles. And so he married Mary in the face of what appeared to be infidelity. There wasn't any, but that's what the criticism was all about. And Joseph could handle that, and he took that on, and he faced it. Though he was not wrong in anything that took place there, he nevertheless, he took on that responsibility. He was someone who was capable of handling adversity. He also endured difficult circumstances, traveling during Mary's pregnancy back to Bethlehem and then down into Egypt and then up out of Egypt later on, so he could handle adversity. Can dads, fathers today handle adversity? Some can and some cannot. This is something that needs to be seen and happen in our society, in our culture today. Then the fourth thing that the fourth quality we see here, he was a good decision maker. Joseph was a man who was a good decision maker. He did not react in bitter emotion and disgrace Mary publicly, but he was making the kind of decisions that he thought was the very best for her, that would not humiliate her. They could have actually taken her and put her on trial and stoned her to death. That was the way it was in that day and that time. But he did not want that to happen, and even if she would escape the stoning situation, she would certainly be publicly embarrassed, and that would go with her for the rest of her life. But Joseph was a man entrusted by God, the Heavenly Father, his son to him, and so Joseph was a man who did that very well. He was a good decision maker. He was objective as a father and as a husband and as a man, and he was determined to make the right kind of decisions, and he thought things through. So those are four characteristics we see there, but there are five things that we learn. We'll just quickly go over these. What do we learn from all of the situation? We learn first and foremost that parenting is a very critically important activity. And we all know, we talk about this from time to time. We see the lives of young people and children who are disheveled. They have dysfunction in their home and their family. There's dysfunctions in the marriage. There's dysfunction with the children. And it goes out from the home. It goes out from the house. It goes out into the schools. It goes out into the churches. It goes out into public places. We see all of these things happening there. But parenting is a very critical, important activity, and it's almost a lost thing in our culture and society as a whole. There are many, many wonderful exceptions, and we thank God for those. But just to think for just a moment that God the Father entrusted into the hands of this man Joseph, who the scripture says he was a just man, a righteous man, a spiritual man in his life. And so he entrusted to Joseph the teaching of the Son of God. Those early years, those things that he needed to have, he gained from Joseph as his earthly father, his stepfather, who was there. So who would lead his family in a spirit of humility and submission. A second lesson that we can learn is that obedience to God involves risk-taking. You know, everything is not smooth and gentle and easy and just doesn't come and go and it's happy and happy-go-lucky and all that. There's a lot of risk-taking in this world, in this life. And Joseph was a man who took that risk. And in our day and time, there is risk-taking involved in raising of children. There are criticisms today. We see it more and more. It's becoming more and more public on our television, through Hollywood, through politicians, through politics, and all of this. The things that are beginning to happen out there. It's not just easy to stand up for the biblical concept of marriage. We read almost weekly where different people who run and have their own businesses refuse a same-sex couple and their celebration, all that they're going to do. And these men and women, these people are losing their jobs, their businesses, because of the attitude of the world. And so these people, but they choose, they know what those choices make, and they stand up for those things. And it's certainly a risk-taking society that we live in today. And so the angel's directions was to proceed with marriage plans with Mary. That contradicted common sense, and it required a deep trust in God. Don't you know that Joseph had to trust God beyond anything within his reason or anything he had ever experienced in his life? Sometimes you and I are called upon to trust God beyond what is reasonable in our lives. We see that all through the Old Testament. We see it in the lives sometimes of people in the New Testament. It's the trusting God with a deep trust. So it was not the safe path for Joseph to take, and sometimes it's not the safe path for you and me to take, but it is fulfilling God's will and God's design and God's purpose. Remember, God never changes. I remember when I used to work for a living, actually before I went off after I before I graduated from high school, the boss's niece came to work for us, and she was very liberal, and she was doing all kinds of wild things, and she knew that's before I even knew that the Lord was going to call me into the ministry, and she would say things, well, it's a different day and time. It says, times have changed, Lester, and I said, well, times have changed, you're right, but God hasn't. And she's always remembered that. I see her every 2 or 3 years, I might run into her or something, and she always remembered me saying that to her because it was the truth. And sometimes that's what it really is. Times do change, but God is unchanging. And sometimes because God is unchanging, we're either committed to Him or we're committed to what we want to happen all around us. And then the third thing that we can learn is that we must come to terms with God's authority in our lives. We must come to terms with God's authority. Joseph thought holiness was required when he was going to put Mary away, because this is not a clean thing. This is not a good thing. This is an immoral thing. But then he had to come to terms with God's authority, because through the angel, God spoke to Joseph not to do this thing. God intervened in a special way all the way through the announcement and the birth and the life of our Lord. Joseph was there doing the will of God in a very important task, and very little is ever even said about him in the scripture. And I believe God wants us to trust him and not the earthly father of Jesus. That has to be part of it there. And so we have to trust God in those things. And as we grow in the Lord, then our preconceived notions will be challenged. And that's what happened in Joseph's life. Then the fourth thing we learn is that poverty is no barrier to Christian service. In the day that Jesus was born, in the day in the life of Joseph and Mary, to be a carpenter was a very low career choice. You just weren't really up with the where it's going to take you places in this world and life. No center of prestige or anything like that. He was a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter by trade, and they valued carpenters very little in the first century Palestine. How do we know that they were very poor? Because it says that they offered 2 turtle doves when they went to dedicate Jesus at the temple. And that was for the very poor. That was everybody could afford 2 turtle doves. Anyone could gain 2 turtle doves instead of a lamb, which was very costly. That's what they took because that was their status there in life. So they offered these 2 birds as a sacrifice because they could not afford a lamb. And God did not choose. Isn't it amazing that God did not choose a well-to-do man to father Jesus? Think about maybe how differently it could, in life it could have come. Jesus, the Bible tells us in Philippians that Jesus humbled himself, and that's our example to walk and live in this life. Jesus, the God of glory and all of his majesty, humbled himself and became a man, one of us. He was born in a lowly place there in Bethlehem, an out-of-the-way place, kind of like being born in Tallulah here in town somewhere. And then it would be like born in a stable, not even in a house, but in a stable, as we've talked about. And for a bed, a feeding trough, that was his bed. Here's the God of glory in that kind of circumstances. His father was his earthly father was a carpenter who low place in life. They were very poor, but all of this was according to God's will and to God's plan. And so, wherever circumstances you and I find ourselves in life, it is God who puts these things there, and He has a purpose for them. And so, poverty is not a barrier in any way, shape, or form to Christian service. Everybody can serve the Lord with all of these qualities and all these characteristics. And then the last one, obedience is the basis for leadership. Leadership in the home. That's what Joseph demonstrated over and over, his obedience to God. Obedience to the law and obedience to the Father. How? Through the angel, through the command of the angel there. And so Joseph demonstrated this very strong and quiet leadership, as one commentary said. The characteristics of Joseph was he was an obedient man, and he was a man of true and great humility. So he obeyed the civil decrees, he obeyed the Old Testament laws, the laws of Moses, and he obeyed the directions that the angel gave him in that dream, and he submitted to every legitimate authority in his life. What do we see in our society today? People are not submitting to authority. In recent months, with all the shootings and the police and all of this, we see a resistance to authority. And that is the characteristics of a nation that has gone away a long way from God. But our country, our nation, the people, the world need to see today the example of godly men, godly husbands, godly fathers. Every man is not a husband. Every man is not a father. And young men haven't come to that yet. But you see, in Joseph, we see a man who is righteous because he sought to follow God in His Word and all of these things. And he was a man of integrity. A man of integrity. A man of deep convictions. A man who lived out his beliefs and his faith in God. And he responded always to God in obedience. He was a man of self-control. And he was a man who had God's trust. Just think, God the Father, the Heavenly Father, trusted this man, Joseph, to be the early influence of the Son of God. And so I was amazed at how much we could see and look and learn when we look at the Scriptures and see this man, Joseph.